Communication, Key to Expansion. This article by Roger Coe of Albuquerque, New Mexico, appeared in the February 1986 Baha'i News. The Word, Baha'u'llah's Legacy. The legacy of every manifestation of God has been the Word that He has revealed for the guidance of His followers. In the following passage, Baha'u'llah speaks of what devolves to the believers as they interact with that Word. Quote, O my friend, it behooveth us to exert the highest endeavor to attain unto that city. That city is none other than the Word of God revealed in every age and dispensation. In the dispensation of Him whom God will make manifest, it is His own book, the book unto which all the books of former dispensations must needs be referred, the book which standeth amongst them all transcendent and supreme. In these cities, spiritual sustenance is bountifully provided, and incorruptible delights have been ordained. The food they bestow is the bread of heaven, and the spirit they impart is God's imperishable blessing. Upon detached souls they bestow the gift of unity, enrich the destitute, and offer the cup of knowledge unto them who wander in the wilderness of ignorance. All the guidance, the blessings, the learning, the understanding, the faith, and certitude conferred upon all that is in heaven and on earth are hidden and treasured within these cities. The Kitab-e-Iqan, pages 199 through 200. End quote. This word is the creative word of God, that word which has the power to restructure the entire creation. In another passage, Baha'u'llah speaks of effecting the change of order with the first word that he spoke in his capacity as a manifestation of God. Quote, I testify that no sooner had the first word proceeded out of his mouth than the whole creation was revolutionized. Through that word, the realities of all created things were shaken, were divided, separated, scattered, combined, and reunited, disclosing in both the contingent world and the heavenly kingdom entities of a new creation. Prayers and Meditations, pages 295-96. Baha'u'llah affirms that each one of the words he has uttered is endowed with a similar power. He says, quote, every single letter proceeding out of the mouth of God is indeed a mother letter, and every word uttered by him is a mother word, and his tablet a mother tablet. From Gleanings from the Writings of Baha'u'llah, page 142. And elsewhere, quote, every single letter proceeding from our mouth is endowed with such regenerative power as to enable it to bring into existence a new creation, a creation the magnitude of which is inscrutable to all save God. This is from The World Order of Baha'u'llah, page 107. Notwithstanding the fact that many of these words have been in use by mankind prior to the dispensation of Baha'u'llah, the fact that they were uttered by the manifestation of God has endowed them with a unique distinction. Baha'u'llah affirms, the word which the one true God uttereth in this day, though that word be the most familiar and commonplace of terms, is invested with supreme, with unique distinction. From The World Order of Baha'u'llah, page 104. Baha'u'llah, in his capacity as, quote, the organizer of the entire planet, end quote, God Passes By, page 93, has, through his word, upset the equilibrium of the old order and established the balance of the new world order. He has invested mankind with a similar capacity by endowing each soul with the power to reflect all the names and attributes of God, including the power of creation. Baha'u'llah says, quote, O my servant, obey me, and I shall make thee like unto myself. I say be, and it is, and thou shalt say be, and it shall be. This is from The Seven Valleys and the Four Valleys, page 60. In the Lohe Maqsood, which is found in tablets of Baha'u'llah, there is a wonderful and lengthy passage on the importance of words and their proper use by man. Quote, no man of wisdom can demonstrate his knowledge save by means of words. This showeth the significance of the word as is affirmed in all the scriptures, whether of former times or more recently. For it is through its potency and animating spirit that the people of the world have attained so eminent a position. Every word is endowed with a spirit. Therefore, the speaker or expounder should carefully deliver his words at the appropriate time and place, for the impression which each word maketh is clearly evident and perceptible. The great being saith, one word may be likened unto fire, another unto light, and the influence which both exert is manifest in the world. Therefore, an enlightened man of wisdom should primarily speak with words as mild as milk, that the children of men may be nurtured and edified thereby, and may attain the ultimate goal of human existence, which is the station of true understanding and nobility. This is from Tablets of Baha'u'llah, pages 172 and 3. Let us reflect for a moment on the significance of words in relation to the work we presently do for the faith. Our basic task as Baha'is is twofold. 1. The promulgation of the word of Baha'u'llah. And 2. The establishment of a worldwide culture and civilization based on that word. The administration of the activities designed to achieve these ends is carried out by bodies whose method is consultation and whose product is a decision. Both the process and the content of the administrative agencies of the faith is represented in words. But these are not ordinary words. They are words spoken for the sake of God and following the order set by Baha'u'llah, that is, intending to carry out His divine plan. They are specifically designed to create a visible effect in the world and in the hearts of men in accordance with the laws and principles of Baha'u'llah. The Beloved Guardian, in one of his first letters to the American Baha'i community, spoke of the purpose of the National Spiritual Assembly and specifically connected the accomplishment of that task to the necessity for communication. Quote, "The National Spiritual Assembly's immediate purpose is to stimulate, unify, and coordinate, by frequent personal consultations, the manifold activities of the Friends, as well as the local assemblies, and by keeping in close and constant touch with the Holy Land, initiate measures and direct in general the affairs of the cause in that country." From Baha'i Administration, page 39. During the course of his ministry, besides his one book and his several book-length letters, the Guardian wrote more than 26,000 letters to assemblies, committees, and individuals, expounding upon the word of Baha'u'llah, guiding the Friends, and organizing them in the gradual construction of the world order of Baha'u'llah. In these letters, he indicated time and again the importance of communication and urged the Friends to focus on the means for communication as well as the content of what was being said. In a letter he wrote in 1931, which is included in the World Order letters, he quotes Abdu'l-Bahá's definitive statement that even the possibility for the achievement of world order is linked directly to the development of means for communication. Quote, "In cycles gone by, though harmony was established, yet owing to the absence of means, the unity of all mankind could not have been achieved. Continents remained widely divided. Nay, even among the peoples of one and the same continent, association and interchange of thought were well nigh impossible. Consequently, intercourse, understanding, and unity amongst all the peoples and kindreds of the earth were unattainable. In this day, however, means of communication have multiplied, and the five continents of the earth have virtually merged into one. Hence, the unity of all mankind can in this day be achieved." The World Order of Baha'u'llah, pages 38 and 9. From the following letter, it is clear that even in 1923, the Guardian was tremendously burdened by the correspondence which was so necessary to the organization of the work of the cause and hoped for a, quote, solution to the problem. Quote, "I am sure you all realize the seemingly unsurmountable difficulties in the way of individual correspondence with the ever-increasing multitude of Baha'is throughout the world, and I need hardly tell you how tremendously difficult it is and how reluctant I feel to discriminate at all between the many letters of varying importance which I daily receive from almost every corner of the globe. Realizing, however, that direct and intimate individual correspondence in some form or another is most urgent and vital to the interests of the cause, I am, I assure you, giving it these days again my careful and undivided attention, and pray God that to this problem may soon be found a satisfactory and feasible solution. In the meantime, I wish to emphasize the fact that I eagerly await and would welcome and would assuredly have time to peruse most carefully and in person every individual letter you may wish to send me, and my readiness and wish to attend in the very best way I can to every matter raised in those letters. No written message, however unimportant, will first be opened and read by anyone save myself. Baha'i Administration, Unfolding Destiny, pages 16 and 17. In another early letter, the Guardian indicates the importance of communication between the various institutions around the world for forging a bond of brotherhood and common purpose. Quote, they, the assemblies, must make an effort to maintain official, regular, and frequent correspondence with the various Baha'i centers throughout the world, report to them their activities, and share the glad tidings they receive with all their fellow workers in the cause. They must encourage and stimulate by every means at their command, through subscription, reports, and articles, the development of the various Baha'i magazines. From Baha'i Administration, page 38. The Universal House of Justice, in its Nowruz 1974 message to the Baha'is of the world, reiterated the Guardian's emphasis on the importance of communication and words in general, encouraging the believers to adopt means that are more efficient and rapid. Quote, the dissemination of news and messages, so vital to the knowledge, encouragement, and unity of the Baha'i community, must be made efficient and rapid, and in anticipation of a vast expansion in the number of believers, of local spiritual assemblies, and of localities where Baha'is reside, a coordinated program of translating and publishing Baha'i literature with the eventual aim of providing the sacred text and the teachings of the faith to all mankind is to be developed. The proclamation of the faith, following established plans and aiming on use on an increasing scale, the facilities of mass communication must be vigorously pursued. From the Five-Year Plan, page 5. We are not only encouraged as individuals to stimulate one another through our letters, magazines, and personal communications. Consultation is a law which is specifically enjoined upon our administrative bodies. This law is of such importance that Shoghi Effendi has called it, quote, the bedrock of this unique order. From Consultation, a compilation, page 15. The supreme importance of these consultative bodies lies in the fact that in them resides the sole authority for the administration of the affairs of the faith. No individual in the Baha'i world has more power or administrative authority than any other individual. All administrative authority is vested in elected bodies whose method of operation is consultation. In the following passage, Shoghi Effendi indicates the scope of the authority and the efficacy of the method of these consultative bodies. The principle of consultation, which constitutes one of the basic laws of the administration, should be applied to all Baha'i activities which affect the collective interests of the faith, for it is through cooperation and continued exchange of thoughts and views that the cause can best safeguard and foster its interests. Individual initiative, personal ability, and resourcefulness, though indispensable, are, unless supported and enriched by the collective experiences and wisdom of the group, utterly incapable of achieving such a tremendous task. From Consultation to Compilation, page 15. What needs to be done? In the promulgation of the word of Baha'u'llah, and in the creation of a new worldwide culture and civilization, the primary tasks that must be accomplished are all concerned with consultation, communication, and motivation. But the achievement of these goals also requires knowledge of the word and its authoritative interpretations, and administrative skill in doing such work as planning, organization, management, and monitoring. Knowledge of the principles of Baha'u'llah and skill in consultation and the methods of science are among the primary requisites for all of these activities. In one of the Guardian's early letters to the American Baha'i community, he spoke of the role in organizing and shepherding the community that would be undertaken by the future International House of Justice, saying that, quote, the Supreme Council will guide, organize, and unify the affairs of the movement throughout the world. Baha'i Administration, page 39. But it is not necessarily the administrative agencies who will do all the work, or, for that matter, even initiate every impetus for the faith as a whole to move in any particular direction. The individual has a not inconsiderable part in this process. In the words of Shoghi Effendi, quote, "It is the individual believer on whom, in the last resort, depends the fate of the entire community. He it is who constitutes the warp and woof on which the quality and pattern of the whole fabric must depend. Without his support, at once wholehearted, continuous, and generous, every measure adopted and every plan formulated by the body which acts as the national representative of the community to which he belongs is foredoomed to failure. The administrative agencies of a divinely conceived administrative order, at long last erected and relatively perfected, stand in dire need of the individual believer to come forward and utilize them with undeviating purpose, serene confidence, and exemplary humility. The greater responsibility lies." Baha'u'llah, in the Lohe Maqsood, says, quote, "The man of consummate learning and the sage endowed with penetrating wisdom are the two eyes to the body of mankind. God willing, the earth shall never be deprived of these two greatest gifts. Please God, the peoples of the world may be led as the result of the high endeavors exerted by their rulers and the wise and learned amongst men to recognize their best interests." This is from Tablets of Baha'u'llah, page 171. Abdu'l-Bahá adds his injunction, quote, "It is essential that scholars and the spiritually learned should undertake in all sincerity and purity of intent and for the sake of God alone to counsel and exhort the masses and clarify their vision with that collyrium which is knowledge." The Secret of Divine Civilization, page 39. In the concluding passages of The Secret of Divine Civilization, Abdu'l-Bahá's treatise on social and political development and the responsibilities of the learned within those arenas, the master indicates the supreme importance of communication of thought and the proper directing of public opinion, as he writes, quote, "It is therefore urgent that beneficial articles and books be written, clearly and definitely establishing what the present-day requirements of the people are, and what will conduce to the happiness and advancement of society. The publication of high thoughts is the dynamic power in the arteries of life. It is the very soul of the world. Thoughts are a boundless sea, and the effects and varying conditions of existence are as the separate forms and individual limits of the waves. Not until the sea boils up will the waves rise and scatter their pearls of knowledge on the shore of life. Public opinion must be directed toward whatever is worthy of this day, and this is impossible except through the use of adequate arguments and the adducing of clear, comprehensive, and conclusive proofs. For the helpless masses know nothing of the world, and while there is no doubt that they seek and long for their own happiness, yet ignorance, like a heavy veil, shuts them away from it. Furthermore, he, in that same book, indicates what the collective responsibility of the scholars and the learned is in connection with the structuring and ordering of the affairs of the world. Quote, "In view of the fact that at the present time fully developed and comprehensively learned individuals are hard to come by, and the government and people are in dire need of order and direction, it is essential to establish a body of scholars, the various groups of whose membership would each be expert in one of the aforementioned branches of knowledge." Parenthetically, in preceding passages, these are cited as, quote, "knowledge of the sacred scriptures and the entire field of divine and natural science, of religious jurisprudence and the arts of government and the varied learning of the time and the great events of history," in print. "This body should, with the greatest energy and vigor, deliberate as to all present and future requirements and bring about equilibrium and order." The Secret of Divine Civilization, page 37. In 1949, the Guardian admonished the believers to work toward, quote, "a more profound and coordinated Baha'i scholarship." This is from The Importance of Deepening, page 49. "But it seems that we have had some difficulty in carrying out this instruction. Baha'i scholars and others who study deeply the writings of the faith often are spread so far apart from each other that collaboration and coordination is physically and financially impossible. And while the faith has always had in its ranks scholars and learned individuals, there has not been, until recently, an official administrative channel through which they might efficiently and effectively coordinate their efforts and collaborate in devising solutions to the problem problems facing the Baha'i community. Shortly after assuming its duties, the Universal House of Justice established its research department, and in 1968 made provision for the extension into the future of the functions of the Institution of the Learned through establishment of the Continental Boards of Counselors. 5 years later, the International Teaching Center was brought into existence. In the mid-1970s, the Association for Baha'i Studies was begun, and within the past year, the Boards of Counselors have received instructions from the House of Justice to assist the community of scholars. But the communications medium through which these scholars might be convened has not yet been effectively established. The beloved Guardian gave voice to a similar plaint as early in his ministry as 1923. We would do well to hear again his wish and pause to reflect on how we might complete, by proxy, his long-cherished hope that we work closely with others in establishing the cause of Baha'u'llah. Quote, after a long and unbroken silence, it gives me the greatest joy to be enabled to correspond again with my dearly beloved co-workers of the National Spiritual Assembly. Your three letters have been safely received, and to each I have given my earnest and fullest attention. Their perusal, which reflects only a certain amount of your activities, together with the study of the enclosed communications and circulars, and of the detailed and admirable report of the proceedings of the annual convention, have all served to heighten my admiration for the thoroughness, the ability, and the devotion with which you are conducting the affairs of the cause of God in that land. How often I have wished and yearned to be nearer to the field of your activities, and thus be able to keep in a more constant and closer touch with every detail of the manifold and all-important services you render. I cherish the heart of 2 and 3. The efficacy of consultation in connection with working together on projects is clearly set forth in the writings of Abdu'l-Bahá. Quote, the purpose of consultation is to show that the views of several individuals are assuredly preferable to one man. Thus, consultation hath been enjoined upon the believers, so that they may confer upon ordinary and personal matters, as well as on affairs which are general in nature and universal. For instance, when a man hath a project to accomplish, should he consult with some of his brethren, that which is agreeable will of course be investigated and unveiled to his eyes, and the truth will be disclosed. The members of each profession, such as in industry, should consult, and those in commerce should similarly consult on business affairs. In short, consultation is desirable and acceptable in all things and on all issues. From Consultation to Compilation, pages 8 and 9. Settle all things, both great and small, by consultation. Without prior consultation, take no important step in your own personal affairs. Concern yourselves with one another. Help along one another's projects and plans. Consultation to Compilation, page 9. The task ahead of the Baha'i world is the most monumental undertaking that has ever confronted any group of people throughout all of recorded history. It is a task that is not only going to require study, research, and deepening on the part of a great many scholars, it is going to require that all of that work be coordinated and systematized. This task, in brief, is none other than the organization and management of the entire range of human and material resources around the world for the benefit of all mankind. In the world order of Baha'u'llah, Shoghi Effendi has given us a vision of the pattern of this future society. Quote, a mechanism of world intercommunication will be devised, embracing the whole planet, freed from national hindrances and restrictions, and functioning with marvelous swiftness and perfect regularity. A world metropolis will act as the nerve center of a world civilization, the focus towards which the unifying forces of life will converge and from which its energizing influences will radiate. In such a world society, science and religion, the two most potent forces in human life, will be reconciled, will cooperate, and will harmoniously develop. The enormous energy dissipated and wasted on war will be consecrated to such ends as will extend the range of human inventions and technical development, to the increase in the productivity of mankind, to the extension of scientific research, to the sharpening and refinement of the human brain, to the exploitation of the unused and unsuspected resources of the planet, to the prolongation of human life, and to the furtherance of any other agency that can stimulate the intellectual, the moral, and spiritual life of the entire human race. World Order of Baha'u'llah, pages 203 and 4. This passage was written in 1939, in the dark beginnings of a world war, and at a time when few had ever even dreamed of such prospects. Yet here is a clear and definite anticipation of the communication system that our modern scientific age has made a reality. And is this not a major miracle? It was only 100 years ago from the present date that Baha'u'llah, seeking to impress upon Nabil-e Akbar the wonders of the past ages, set forth as an example the achievement of Martos, who, quote, invented an apparatus which transmitted sound over a distance of 60 miles, from Tablets of Baha'u'llah, page 150. These inventions and discoveries are not happenstance. The plan of God requires the means for its implementation, and the word of Baha'u'llah has unleashed the potentiality for all of the necessary sciences and technologies to come into existence. Adib Taherzadeh, in volumes 1 and 3 of his series, The Revelation of Baha'u'llah, speaks at length of the connection between the faith of Baha'u'llah and the developments in the communication sciences. Quote, since the appearance of the Bab, man's advances in both material and spiritual civilization have been prodigious. The unprecedented increase in scientific discoveries has, within a short period of time, established a marvelous system of communication throughout the world, which is of the utmost significance if we are to evaluate correctly the plan of God for mankind. The diffusion of the light of the faith of Baha'u'llah throughout the entire planet and the proclamation of its message on a global scale could be realized only at a time when the peoples of the world are able to communicate easily with one another. Without a worldwide system of communication linking all humanity together, the faith of Baha'u'llah would have been impractical and ineffective. For this is a faith whose basic teachings revolve around the principle of the oneness of mankind. Its message is universal, and its aim is to establish a spiritual world order for all who dwell on earth. In the early days of the faith in Persia, many believers could not visualize the manner in which the cause of Baha'u'llah would reach the remote corners of the earth. The only way of traveling known to them was by walking or riding a donkey or a mule. The question which puzzled them most was how they could cover such long distances to teach the cause. At that time, no one could have offered a solution except to say that God would create the means. But the Bab had stated that mankind should establish a system of swift communications so that the news of the coming of Him whom God shall make manifest could reach the whole world. Now this has happened, and within such a short period, a miraculous scientific revolution has taken place. Today the world has become one world. Man can communicate with the speed of light and travel faster than sound. The Bab had indeed ushered in a new era in human knowledge, paving the way for the coming of Baha'u'llah. From the Revelation of Baha'u'llah, volume 1, pages 216 and 17. Baha'u'llah affirms, again, quote, Baha'u'llah affirms in the Surah Haikal that through the outpouring of knowledge from the heart of the Haikal, he will soon raise up scientists of great caliber who will bring about such marvelous technological achievements that no one can as yet imagine them. This prophecy of Baha'u'llah has already been fulfilled, and this is only the beginning. The technological developments which have taken place in the field of communication since the advent of the Bab bear ample testimony to this. As the faith of Baha'u'llah grew, the means of communication kept pace with it. In surveying the progress of their faith, the followers of Baha'u'llah have seen that whenever the propagation of the faith or the building of the administrative order needed some new material means, they were miraculously provided in time. Some of the new inventions which have played a vital role in the development of the faith that have come about just in time to serve a particular need. To cite one example of many, Baha'u'llah revealed many tablets, epistles, and books, which, if compiled, would produce about 100 volumes. Abdu'l-Bahá's writings are no less in range. The writings of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá contain, among other things, teachings both spiritual and social, laws, exhortations, and explanations about many subjects, including man, the purpose of his life, and his relationship to God. Added to these are the voluminous writings of Shoghi Effendi, the guardian of the faith. In addition to his famous works, he has written no less than 26,000 letters, some of them so lengthy that they warranted being printed in the form of a book. His writings contain invaluable guidance which, as the authorized interpreter of the words of Baha'u'llah, he has given to the Baha'i world. It can be seen, therefore, that the Baha'i holy writings are enormous in range and contain matters of vital interest for all humanity.